The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Well, welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I'm Rick Welch, and to my left is... she's back.
Hello.
The Honorable Sarita the Edge Edgerton.
Hi, how
it's
are
so
y'all?
It's so nice to see you. It's been
Thank
a hot
you.
Great day.
Yeah, it's
I'm
been
wearing,
a minute.
I'm wearing, in honor of National Pollen Season, I'm wearing my pollen-colored sweater today.
That's perfect.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, this is not a sweater. It's just pollen.
So that's why my eyes are watering. Behind the glass is Rocketman Andy Bishop.
Greg is trying to climb my legs.
Yeah, that's not unusual. And to my right is Rick Big Daddy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
That sweet bass.
That sweet, sweet bass. Well, we do not have Billy I Candy Kimsey. We do not have Tiziana Mom So Hard's Verse. And we don't have Ralph Straight Out of Compton Hicks.
By the way, I feel sorry for Billy's daughter who's running in this.
In the smoke.
Oh, God. That is not
the
cool.
The thought made Ooh. When I got up here, I was like, oh, my gosh. Because you can't smell it down where I am. You can see it. You just can't smell it.
Right.
So I can't
that's
be
the fires
outside for
anybody
minutes.
Who's listening to this later on.
There's, the world is literally on fire.
Do you remember
Greenville
how-
County and Pickens County are literally on fire, and it's still the after effects of Helene.
I know.
This is all the after effects of Helene.
Yeah,
those are like tinderbox matches, and they can't get the equipment up there to fix it.
Right.
Somebody needs to tell Moses to go home.
Listen. This whole
let my people go,
or Elijah to stop calling down the fire. Yes. Like there's my house. Like, dude, it's thick smoke. I don't know why it's coming through that valley there, but I was like, I took a picture of it. I was like, Great Smoky Mountains, for sure,
for sure.
It's very cool, man.
So the first thing that I want to do is I'm going to issue a public apology on behalf of.
Oh my gosh, what were Rick?
I'm issuing a public apology.
For having Sarita on the podcast.
No, for the last episode of our Daniel study, chapters 5 and 6, because our humor went absolutely off the rails. And
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Just as guilty. I'm just as guilty. When things get funny, guys, I did comedy. Yeah,
Andy was the well-behaved one.
That's Andy was the one that could have steered the ship.
I don't know if you
ship.
Know this, but that's always true.
No, not always, Andy.
But I will say this. I did stand-up comedy for over 5 years, and that was one of my favorite things to do. And believe it or not, I tried a little bit of Christian comedy. It was very difficult because I always had to perform at a Christian coffee house. And I'm sorry, but caffeine-jacked people that are like high on religion, you got to play to them. You got to know the room. And it was just, I did okay, but I mean, I wasn't
Oftentimes,
I wasn't
they don't have senses of humor either.
Some of them don't, but there's a lot of people that do. There's a lot of Christians that know how to laugh and they like clean humor. And a good person to watch is
Nate
like-
Nate Bargatze.
Exactly. Nate Bargatze has
His
figured
Saturday
it out.
His Saturday Night Live sketches as George Washington.
Oh, both of them.
Chef's kiss.
They are.
They are both the best.
Have you ever seen those, Andy?
I have not. I don't
you
know.
You should go
you're
and Google
about.
SNL Nate Bargatze George Washington, and he talks. It's hysterical.
It is absolutely hysterical, and it's completely clean. And that's the one thing about him is clean because he as Washington the first one he just says, and we will have our own system of weights and measures, and they're like weights and measures, sure. And he's like yes, and he talks about like the metric system versus the standard
that's
imperial
funny.
System.
That is my how many, sort of humor.
How many liters in a gallon? No one knows.
No one knows.
No one knows. What about my people? Is it Kenan Thompson?
Kenan Thompson. He's
like what about my people? He just pats him on the shoulder and walks away.
He said, are we going to be free? And then he ignores it and just keeps talking.
He pats him on the shoulder and keeps walking and just walks away.
Yeah.
And he's like, Kenan Thompson is like, what?
And he's like, and we will have football. So is that a sport you play with your foot? Sometimes. He explains like point structure.
Do you
structure.
Earn points? Sometimes one, sometimes three. And the guy is just as, his deadpan face, there's no smile. He just Sometimes one.
Sometimes three.
And it's hysterical. He's talking to his soldiers, you know, and it's funny. It's really funny.
It is very good. You should go watch it. I will check that out.
His Netflix specials are on point, too.
They are.
And so funny.
I went and saw him live. He came to Asheville, and I saw him live. His father was a magician. And he grew up around a guy that performed all the time. And he said, I always thought everybody's dad was a magician, you know. But his dad is a sincere, deeply Christian man. And he shared his magic and his, like, almost like a little testimony while at that show. And it was fantastic. And the magic was great.
So what you're saying is you could have done that episode with less
entendre. Listen, the reality is if I had been funny. That's the reality.
I think we need an interdict on certain types of humor.
We're going to drop that one. So I'm going to.
Yeah, hey, I used that correctly.
You did.
Yes, you did.
And if I had been funny, then I probably could have done it. But I lacked that. And that's the thing about Nate Bargatze. That dude, he's just funny, just right out of the gate. I mean, he says the weirdest stuff. You know, like about. Did you ever see the one where he talks about after 9/11? He said he worked at the water company. He said yes. My first job, the job I'm going to go back to after this all falls apart.
Yes.
I was a water meter reader. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said the job is the description of what it is. And he said that after 9/11, you know, that everybody was afraid. And he said, and so were we in Wilson County, Tennessee, because we believed that the Taliban was coming to poison our water. And he said, so he stood guard at the water tower and they gave him a lantern. And he was like, a lantern. He was like, the thing that the people will shoot at.
Yeah. That's the wrong person to have a lantern.
You should check this guy out. Nate Bargatze on Netflix. He also has a show called Hello World that's on.
I think we're going to see him at Bon Secours. I think I got that for my birthday.
Next November.
Yes, I think I got that for my birthday.
I think I'm going with you. I'm getting tickets.
How big of places does he play?
Oh, he's huge.
Bon Secours is the old Bilo Center in Greenville. So, it's big.
Okay, so he's big.
Okay. He is now, and that's over the last 2 years. He's exploded.
I think he played in Spartanburg at the Memorial. It only holds about 8,000 people, but
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just about. But the thing is, like,
5,000 people.
He did the what we called it. Is it the Cherokee Harris?
Yeah.
Oh, Harris Cherokee.
It used to be the Asheville Civic Center.
Right.
Yeah, and that place was sold out, packed.
Wow.
It was wild.
Wow. So he's big. Yeah.
He is big
well,
now.
Check him out.
Yeah, check him out for sure. He's very funny.
I might be more of a Netflix person.
On Netflix, he does The Tennessee Kid, and then he has The Great American something.
Yeah.
And then the last one he did was My Friend, or Your Friend, Nate Bargatze. And they're all fantastic.
The one of them, you can tell it's COVID.
Yes, everybody's, the second one.
They're outside and they have masks on.
Yeah.
In California. So it was a completely different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick on this because I'm going to ruin one of his jokes, but I just want to say this one.
Yeah, please.
One of my favorite things that he ever does, oh, man. So let me get my bearings. I want to make sure that I say this right. Okay. So he talks about an argument, you know, that. He said he did his own laundry. And everybody was like, woo, clapping. And he's like, I think it deserves that kind of clap, you know? And he's like, because my mom always did my dad's laundry. And everybody I knew, their wives always did their husband's laundry. He's like, but me, I did my own laundry. And he said, and then I thought about it. Oh, I'm going to use this one day in an argument. I'm going to be losing an argument. And I'm going to be like, I do my own laundry. And my wife's going to be like, argument's over. You win.
Yeah.
You know? And he was like, so I waited like 6 months on this. And he goes, because I wasn't going to waste it. Because this was a good one. And he said, and then one day we got into an argument. He's like, I don't even remember what it was about. He said, but I felt sorry for her. He's like, because I was about to drop a bomb on her. And he said, and then the moment came and I was like, I do my own laundry. He said, I had no idea that there was going to be a second argument. And it's just, it's stuff like that. Very homey, very family, very just sweet.
Very real.
He will not cuss. People try to get, even Kevin Hart tries to get him to cuss. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to do that. No. You know, very cool dude.
Cool.
So I had actually sent him an email and asked him to come on the show. This was about a year and a half ago. This was right after he was already getting pretty big.
He's like on the cusp or whatever.
And I said, I said, I'd love to have him come on and talk about what it was like to grow up with his father who was a Christian and all that stuff. And they responded. I got two responses. The first response was, we're so sorry, but he is booked like heavily. He has his own podcast called Nateland. He's on, you know, he's touring. Plus, he's on like Jimmy Fallon. He's on the big name guys, right?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And so he's not going to come to little of us. And then I said, well, you can't blame me for trying. And they responded, absolutely, never stop trying. And I was like, that's very sweet. What he did. Aww. That's what he did, right? He never gave up. But he's been in comedy for like 20 years.
So you keep asking?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's just now making it, right?
That's just one of those, that's one of those things. Like sometimes it just takes that long.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. What'd you say?
Do you keep asking?
I ask people all the time. We are definitely getting Kirk Cameron. That's a happening thing. It's happening in April. He is coming.
What? You didn't know that?
100%. Kirk Cameron is coming in April.
You just dropped a bomb.
You just dropped a bomb on me.
Bam.
He's coming in April. He's not coming in the studio. We have to do it via Zoom. He's been filming Mr. Iggy and or Iggy and Mr. Kirk or something like that. It's a new children's program.
We just hit the big time.
Yep. And then we've got Chris June coming from The Chosen. He is an executive producer of The Chosen. Season 5 releases this coming Friday. Bam, we're dropping
more bombs right now.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, we got some big...
and season 5 is just about to kick off.
It is. And it's
tomorrow. Got tickets.
I'm not going.
Oh, God, I can't wait. I'm going to tell you everything about it.
If you do, I will kill you.
Have y'all been watching The Story of David?
I have heard about it, and I thought about watching it, and I haven't had a chance yet.
It is so good.
Is it House of David?
House of David, yes.
Yes. Yeah, I want to see it. I've heard it's
so good.
Good, I'll watch it. Good. Has it got to the... It's when he's... Is it when he's young right now?
He is... he's fallen in love with Michael, or Michael, whatever her name is, and he was soothing the king in the palace, but they sent him home because... They found out that he liked the princess, Saul's daughter. So they sent him back home. So he's headed back home. That's where I am currently.
Okay. So he hasn't come back to get
He's been anointed by Samuel.
Already? Mm-hmm. So then this is already past the point of, what's his name?
Goliath.
The Goliath. It's already after Goliath.
I think they're taking some liberties.
They might actually go backwards and like...
I think they're doing a little bit of, hey... He's going to, because Goliath is coming into the picture. So we're seeing Goliath happen at the same time.
Chiastic.
So yeah, they're working, I think, with some liberties, but.
I saw the actor that was in.
Yep.
He was actually at the global premiere of The Chosen, the guy that plays Goliath in House of David. So
big boy.
Interesting.
He's a big boy in the movie too.
Yeah, he's a monster dude.
He's a big dude.
Big time. But anyway, well, listen, so again, sorry about all that, guys, our crude humor. I've said it a million times. We're not a Christian podcast, but a lot of us are Christians, including me, and I probably should be better about myself. So yes. I'll say it directly. Sorry, Sue.
Yes, you should.
I love you, Sue. I'm so sorry. Rick. But anyway.
As I talk about my own name.
She gets a personal apology.
It's personal because she's the one really that tells me like, you know, like you can do better. You can. I know you can. And it's like... I know I can, but I don't want to sometimes. You know, these jokes are so fun. But anyway, whatever. Well, let's catch up with you, Sarita. I want to ask you some questions, can I?
Sure.
So
I'm a politician now. I know how to evade answering questions.
Yeah. Just kidding. You just answer a question with a question?
Yeah.
So how long have you been in now?
Since January. So we're looking at...
We're at the end of March here.
We're at the end of March. So 3 months.
3 months.
With a 1 week furlough after budget week last week. So how
do you feel about it so far? Like, we know that you've talked about it in the very beginning about how, I don't know, it almost feels like you're around a bunch of lowlifes. And I don't mean to say it that way, but it seems like a lot of people, like, there's that morality isn't really has an effect on any of this stuff. But it does for some, but not many.
I think.
You still feel that way?
I do believe that there are people who are compromised morally.
Morally?
In the House. Okay. And maybe the Senate. I just don't know them as
well.
And
we won't name names, but is this by lobbying? Is that they're compromised by lobbyists?
Or just their own selves, their own ambitions.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
It's not the $10,400 salary that we make. That doesn't corrupt them. So...
No. So that didn't get you. When they gave you that $10,400, you were like,
oh, they took taxes out and the insurance. So it wasn't $10,400.
But at least you got insurance. That's nice.
I do have insurance. That's nice.
Do you get to cover your family or just yourself?
My kids.
Oh, that's good.
The three kids that are still under 25 and I'm responsible for.
That's good.
Michael has his own insurance.
Right. So. Man. So any exciting news over the last 3 months? Like anything that, I mean, we knew that you had a couple of videos go viral. I saw one on X that went viral where you were like calling people out. And
I just asked a question.
That was about the reading of the bill. I think we talked about it here.
Yes,
maybe.
We did an update on that. And that it ended up, I think it's got 500,000 views on X. Plus, it's been shared probably 100,000 times or maybe not 100,000, but like 10,000 times on Facebook. Or there's some crazy number. He has not spoken to me since. So,
good.
Yeah, he wouldn't get on the elevator with me today. So,
really?
No.
What's he afraid of? You going to bite him? Or?
I don't know. I'm a nice person.
Claw his eyes out.
I'm a nice person.
You know what? I've never had, I think the most, my viral video, Andy, I got 1,400 thumbs downs on my movie, and that was viral for me.
Well, so. I'm hoping wow. to I'm hoping to use that video to fundraise because I need to start fundraising.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I need.
So where?
Let's I need say, some money. People send me money.
How do they send it to you? It's Sarita.
SaritaForSC.com. You can go there's and donate online.
Button. Mm-hmm. There's a donate button.
That's or good, my Facebook page or my Twitter page. Yeah.
Good easy address too.
Yes. SaritaForSC.com.
You can spell my name SARITA.
Even I can spell your name, so I yep. think you're pretty good.
A lot of people can spell it. Spell yeah. it S-E. Because right. people say Sarita, so it sounds like it should be. It's Sarita.
Sarita.
So yes, it's been, it's everything I thought and then some.
My watch face changed. Uh-huh. I don't know why. It's never been that way, so not sure what happened.
I did that.
Did you?
Yeah, I passed the law.
When I hugged you, you reached behind my back and yeah. Yeah, or you're back.
Well, you can't just go for the wallet anymore. That's not how cash works.
Yeah, no, right?
It's true.
It's true.
So, but it's everything that I had kind of been prepped for by those people who kind of mentored me last year. There were a lot of the other freshmen who didn't get some of that prep. So when they went into budget week last week, one of them didn't even know it started on a Monday. So they do it Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday and Thursday if we go really long. Those were particularly long days. Tuesday night, we adjourned at 11:30 and went back at 12:01 because you can't vote on the same bill twice in the same day.
Right.
So it had to be, we had to wait till after midnight. So we didn't have to come back to session during the day the next day. So a lot of people just went home. But I wasn't trying to drive home at 1 o'clock in the morning. Right. I wasn't doing that. So I slept in the next morning and yeah, and then we had a week off and but the budget was a big old beast.
Yeah, I remember I got an email from you because I'm a
yes about you subscribe?
That. I did. I subscribed and so I get your little email, like a newsletter.
Yes, I love that. A newsletter that my friend put together for me. So
yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants the newsletter, if anybody wants to give to Sarita, then saritaforsc.com and you can donate there. And I think you can get on the newsletter from
there
too.
You can. It's just something that we started doing to try to be very consistent and, you know, have a certain look and a certain brand. Chose green because I like green. Everybody else does red and blue. So I wanted to do something different. I just wanted it to look pretty and clean. And that's what she's doing and putting out some good pictures, good photos and, a lot of times we'll talk about bills that have passed or bills that are going to be passed. And sometimes I talk about what we've done in my district. You know, mm-hmm. what I've met with. On Monday night, I'm meeting with Miss Upstate. She lives in my district. And she messaged me for a meeting. And she's going to be in the Miss America pageant or Miss South Carolina pageant. And
nice.
Then that, I think that goes to the Miss America pageant. But I'm having coffee with a beauty queen. I'm so excited.
That is
I'm going to
awesome.
Have to really look good. So, yeah, she's a teenager. I'm not going to outdo that. So,
yeah.
So it's a lot of fun meeting the constituents in my district. That's the best part of this is the help I get to give people from time to time. the, like, for instance, I had a lady, she just got her citizenship. She passed the test after 5 years. Mm-hmm. She's a Christian from Pakistan, came to the United States for religious persecution.
Yeah. I've read a lot about that over there. Yep.
Her family's still there. So now I'm trying to work to get them here. But she got to register to vote. She went immediately to register to vote and got her passport and ID. She's going to learn how to drive. And but
that's great.
Being able to help her, or trying to find somebody that can help her, because I don't do federal stuff. So, you know, I've developed a good relationship with my congressman in the House of Representatives in Washington, and so he said he could try to help me with that. So we're going to do that. And yeah, I was nominated for Christian legislator. There's a conference in Indianapolis in June or July, and I was nominated and they accepted me. So it's like you go and you learn how to legislate, you know, according to biblical values, and, you know, how to be, just training and things like that. And so I was really excited about that. And
how long will you be in office?
It's a two-year.
Two-year. So that's why you need to start raising money now.
Yes. When you don't...
When they developed these systems with the two-year turnovers, it didn't require this amount of money or fundraising. Mm-hmm. Like 2 years, given the amount of money even needed for a seat like Sarita's, means you have to start. Like, it's just the timelines are not good for the way the system has been, frankly, broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's crazy.
Yes. And so I know, because I don't always toe the leadership, the line that the leadership wants me to toe. And I know y'all can't believe that I would, you know.
It's one of my favorite parts, actually.
would be something other than just the regular old politician. Yeah. You know, like, y'all want to read the bill example?
Sure, let's hear it. Sure.
So, I don't know if you saw on social media, the brick, there's a big white stack of paper, has some red pens sitting on top of it. That's the budget.
Okay.
And I read that thing.
Wow.
Twice.
Was it like 1,500 pages or something?
Something.
It was huge.
So the first part of it was numbers, and the second part of it was words. And you have to vote on every individual section. Some of them I had to abstain because of personal, like the licensing board that licensed me as a real estate agent. I didn't vote for that. They also licensed my husband, so you abstain from that. My husband gets my husband's business in the past has gotten contracts to survey for the DOT, so I abstain from that.
Is that considered? Is it like removing yourself because you have a
sense of impropriety?
Yeah, conflict of interest.
Of interest. Yeah, okay. So you have to sign a formal paper that you're abstaining and the reasons why and whatever. But I had gone to a couple of subcommittees where these bills were being, the budget was being discussed. And this particular subcommittee I went into is, there's three people on the subcommittee. Two of them are Democrats in a supermajority red state.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The chair and the vice chair are Democrats. Wow. And then the Republican. And that's done by leadership. So I go in there. And I thought, oh, we're going to talk about the provisos. And provisos are just words that kind of talk about, this year we did a proviso where you can't have, or that last year they voted on a proviso where you can't have cell phones in schools.
Okay.
So that's a proviso. So we get in there and the chair goes, okay, here's the stack of provisos. We're not going to read them individually. We're just going to vote on them. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Any negative? Any no's? Okay, passes, stamp. I was like, and it was this thick.
Yeah, and she's showing it about 3/4 to 1 inch thick.
Yeah, and it. So I started reading through it, and I got halfway through it, and I thought, there's a proviso in here that's been in here since 2016. It expired in 2017. Why is it still in here?
Yeah.
Nobody reads the bill.
Because nobody, yeah.
So yeah. I put up an amendment, and... Because we, my caucus, the Freedom Caucus, put up 100 amendments to amend the budget, because it grew by 10% in a time period where everybody wants to shrink the government. And we weren't trying to get rid of...
That was in your newsletter.
It was.
Yeah, you talked about this.
So core functions of government, public education, K through 12. College is not a core function of government, but yet we fund colleges. Mm-hmm. That just blows my mind. Protecting police, firemen, EMT, core functions of government. You know, there's other things in the budget that we don't need to be funding. Mm-hmm. So I write this amendment, and one of the House GOP caucus people come over to me, and they're like, you know, would you like me to write this amendment? And it'll get passed if I do it. If you do it, it's not going to get passed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, do you agree that this proviso should be struck from the budget? He said, yeah, that's a good catch on your part. He said, and I'll get up and I'll explain it and I'll give you credit. And to his credit, he did. He said, Mrs. Edgerton read this bill, read the budget, and she found this proviso that was outdated. And we made an amendment together to
strike it.
And it passed. But that's because I read.
To make you happy?
The budget. Yes.
Yeah, I was you did like, your job.
Mm. Yeah. So
feels like a win.
It does feel like a win, even though if I'd had my name on that amendment, they would have struck it down. Even as simple as that was, because I don't toe the line. So I have to kind of work around the edges sometime to get things done.
Is there any, can you tell us what the proviso was?
It was a proviso that,
because I'm sure the listeners are going, what?
It was a proviso that said that abortion clinics had to report their abortions for the year, for June of 2016 through December of 2016.
So it's meaningless, yeah, but you're absolutely voting on it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. It's meaningless. It doesn't cost any money. But it just needs to be cleaned up. Let's just clean it up. So what else are they missing? You know, so it passed. I voted for certain parts, but I voted against the total budget because it grew $1.3 billion.
Yeah, in your newsletter, after I read what you just put, it wasn't very long. You just put a lot, you know, some facts in it, and I thought, yeah, you're right. They're adding, and we're trying to shrink government. I mean, you're trying to shrink government, and that's the opposite. And it's weird. It's weird.
And it is bizarre. But they're like, oh, well, our state's growing. I'm like, yes, but our tax base is also growing.
Right.
So you're bringing more people in who are paying taxes, because the people who are coming in are actually fairly wealthy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're fleeing from California and New York. They're what we call political refugees. They want to come somewhere that's not, you know, Mario Cuomo crazy New York City or whatever.
Also, Florida is losing people like mad.
Yeah. So I didn't know that. But I think we were the number one state last year for people to move to.
Really? Yeah. Even over Texas? Because I know a lot of people moved to Texas.
You can't get insurance in Florida.
It's very difficult.
You can't get insurance. The housing market is in a full crash.
Does that mean I could buy a house cheaper now?
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, not in ours because everybody's moving here.
Florida.
In Florida, I meant.
Yeah, in Florida, absolutely. Yeah, the housing market is in, I wouldn't quite call it free fall, but it's almost not hyperbolic. There's houses in Florida that have been empty for years, and like millions of houses that have been perpetually empty for a couple of years now.
Oh, dude, that's so wild.
So the budget passed. And so the budget has to come from the House because we control the purse strings. But it goes to this. It's not quite the same as in Washington, but it's close. So then we send the budget to the Senate. They'll start adding their stuff in. They'll bring it back with probably another $500 million and their pork. And then the House hasn't even added their pork yet. And that's going to be we've heard it's up to $1 billion. So now we're looking at $16 billion, give or take, for the budget.
Yeah.
And that's, I've had several town halls and you know, meetings with constituents, and they don't want that.
Yeah.
So when I told them, I said, I'm going to get hit for voting. They're going to say, you voted against teachers, you voted against police officers, because at the end, I did not vote for the bloated budget because there's just some bad junk in there.
Yeah, so.
But you go through each individual part. Mm-hmm. And so you vote for public schools. So I voted for the public schools. That's a core function of government. Absolutely. Department of Public Safety, that's the police officers, voted for that. Couldn't vote for the DOT. I abstained. But there were parts that I didn't vote for. And I've told my constituents, and they're on board. They don't understand We don't run a deficit in South Carolina. It's against the law. You can't do that.
Okay.
But part of the problem is each agency asks for, Rick's going to ask for $1 million, right? And I'm pointing at Rick Carter. Well, she already has $1 million, but I'm just kidding.
bam! Pesos. But, let's go back here. Pesos.
But, he's supposed to come back at the end of the year and tell me how he spent that money to the dime. And so let's say that he was able to get really good things on sale and he only spent $900,000. Well, that money should come back to the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
It's just the way it works, where if you don't spend the money, you get less money next year, and that this so people spend it
so they can get it. Yeah,
have to spend it. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So to stop that, a few years ago, they decided that Rick could then carry over. Like if you don't use all your minutes on your phone plan, you can carry it over to the next month. Roll it over. So there's $900 million in carryover money to the next year. Or rollover money.
From last year?
Mm-hmm. Almost $1 billion. Mm-hmm. But the budget's going up.
It's in the corporate. Wow. That same structure is in the corporate world, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bureaucracy is bureaucracy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, but bureaucracy just is bureaucracy.
Yeah. Yes.
Everywhere it is.
So, and I understand why they kind of did it that way, because otherwise they'd be going out and buying $25 billion copiers or ink things or whatever.
How about some gold toilets?
Yeah. So anyway, so that's the budget, and we'll see what happens when it comes back from the Senate. So
is being a politician what you thought it was going to be?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
You had a good idea of what it was going to be.
Good mentors or whatever.
I had good mentors, yes, who kind of had prepped us for what it was going to be like, how much we were going to be hated by the other people on the House floor, theoretically, not person to person. Like if you see most of the people out in public, they're going to be nice to you.
Congenial.
And
but it's a theater, isn't it?
It's
totally a theater. I was hearing about that. Is that when they go out on the floor and it's time to get to work, then it's like it's all political theater. And then they come back out and they go play golf together.
Yeah.
You know, but they just, you know, like ripped each other a new one.
I don't know if you remember during that where I read the bill, I got accused of, nobody reads the bill, that episode. I got text messages sent out to my district from the House GOP caucus saying she voted with Democrats.
Yeah.
How dare she? She says she's a conservative. She voted with Democrats against the rules package. And I took a picture of the board or the budget, and I was like, I thought it was a wrong for a conservative to vote with the Democrats, but all of these conservatives did with 100% of the Democrats.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, what's good for thee?
Right.
But Goose. Not for me. Yeah.
It's good for the gander.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's gone on.
So the word on the street is that, because we live in the same state, is that our income tax, state income tax, is going to drop. But you're telling us that the budget is blowing up.
So.
Let's hear.
I'm still analyzing
how does that
this
work?
New tax reform bill that they dropped on us. Out of nowhere, which is always very fishy.
You have to vote on it tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Yeah, right.
My initial analysis, and I have some people looking into this, is that you're screwed, Rick Carter.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. So
anybody that makes over $250,000 a year.
Maybe. I don't know what Rick makes a year, but
definitely not that amount.
The middle class, and it depends on how you define middle class, the average income for a South Carolina household is $62,000, which is lower than the national average, but we've raised it in the past couple of years. But so whatever you call the middle class, they're probably not going to see any meaningful lowering of their taxes, because it went from taxing you on the net to gross.
Ooh. Ooh, that's kind of rough.
But they call it tax reform so they can get it reelected. And not only that,
so 45%
of South Carolinians do not pay any income tax because they're in a low bracket. So that tax is now going to broaden all the way down to the... So it's going to really hurt lower middle class and
I'm sure some people that make a lot of money are getting a damn break, though.
The 1%, they're getting a big old...
For the love of God.
Because they're changing the brackets. So it's going to sound great. And when I vote against it, because it's
You horrible. Voted against tax reform.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah.
But we have, I fed it through three AI bots, Grok, ChatGPT, and...
Oh. Claude?
No.
I love Claude.
I don't know Claude, but Gemini? I need to meet him. Yes.
Gemini.
And then we have a couple of think tanks. I have a couple of think tanks running it through, but that's what it looks like. Now, it could be completely wrong. I have not sat down and studied it.
But it's so complicated that to feel like you understand it, you have to read it, run it by three AIs and a couple of groups of people that, you know, are think tanks. This is what they do.
That they do money for a living.
That is ridiculous, right? Yes. To feel like you've understood it, you have to...
And I still don't
do every bit of that. And which, still not sure.
Yeah. Still not sure.
That is absurd.
Who are the people thinking this stuff up?
Yeah, the people that own the businesses. That
the top 1%.
No shade. Somebody I own a business, in the top 1%. But the people that own the businesses that this will benefit.
It's a whole lot of crony capitalism going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of upper echelon businesses who already get tax incentives or fees in lieu of are going to feel the benefit of this. But people like me, we're middle class. We probably won't get anything. So,
yeah.
They called themselves the Class, later Heaven's Gate, a group of ordinary people who walked away from everything and believed they were chosen to leave this world behind, not metaphorically, literally.
If I would title this tape, it would be Last Chance to Evacuate Planet Earth Before It Is Recycled.
Led by a man who claimed to speak for beings beyond the stars, they trained, obeyed, disappeared. And in 1997, they carried out one of the most haunting acts of mass death in American history.
San Diego sheriff's deputies stumble into a house of death, a multi-million dollar mansion filled with dozens of bodies, the site of a grim mass suicide.
But this isn't just a story about a cult. This is a story about the need to belong. About the quiet loneliness that hides in plain sight, and the human desire to believe in something, even if it means leaving Earth behind to find it. I'm Rick Welch. Join me as we uncover the chilling truth behind Heaven's Gate, from hospital beds to the internet, from whispered prophecy to suicide pacts. This is the full story, told in real time from the inside out. This is The Sky Watchers, a 7-part investigative podcast series. Available only on Patreon. Subscribe now at www.patreon.com/theburrowsofBerea and hear the story that was never meant to be told. The stars are waiting. Are you?
I want to make a little bit of a statement in regard to AI. So I was building an argument on something, and after speaking with ChatGPT 4.0 for about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 minutes, it said, here, watch this YouTube video that agrees with your view. And I was like, awesome. So I watched it, and it didn't agree. It was the opposite of my view. What? It was completely off.
What it was about was if you say
Yahweh, or if the Yod Heh Vav Heh, the V is how they actually pronounce it. They're saying that it was Yehovah is what they're saying now. Anyway, so I'm looking at it and I'm like, but I've read a lot of articles in regard how is the W sound, and it actually extends into like Arabic. I don't want to get off on this subject, but the whole point was, here's one where it says you use the W sound and it agrees with your view or what you've said.
And it was wrong.
It was just flat wrong. Yeah. It was actually Nehemiah Gordon who says you say the V, and here's why. And he does it. And I was like, so I asked the question. I said, did you even watch this video? It's the opposite, ... And I hit enter and it said, you're right. My bad. this, I mean, it was like English vernacular, American vernacular. My bad. You're totally right. I gave you the wrong video. I was like, what is, and when they say it's artificial intelligence, just have fun with it. Talk to it like it's a person. You will be shocked at how well it does. It is really amazing, but it doesn't mean it gets it right. So even though you put it through those three AI generators.
I put parameters on it.
Did you?
So
like I only want it to be Republican.
So yes. So I like Grok the most because Grok.
So does Rick Carter.
What?
Grok. You like the unhinged comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like Grok because my tweets are on there. Mm-hmm. So it knows my, it analyzes my voice, but then I also have loaded the South Carolina Constitution in there and the United States Constitution. So when I run a bill through it, I say, analyze it according to my conservative beliefs, the U.S. Constitution and the South Carolina Constitution. And it'll usually give me the pros and cons. And then I kind of, or this paragraph's going to be tricky. It'll even do that. It'll say paragraph D is going to be tricky, that you might want to concentrate there. So I know where the fight is. And it's just, it's not, I don't depend on it to analyze it for me, but to give me a starting place.
It's a tool. And it's allowed to be a part of a set of tools.
I love the tool.
Just like I would use a dictionary.
Just be aware it can be wrong.
Absolutely. It shouldn't be your only tool.
Yes, it shouldn't. I try to use three different ones. And then several of us get together and talk about these things on the regular, just how we see it.
How very tech savvy of you, though. I like that. Very good.
Yeah.
We have a bill that we're debating on Tuesday. I think Tuesday. It's 200 pages.
Yeah. Did they send it to you in PDF form?
I was told about it last night. But yes, you can access any of it on schouse.gov.
But are you allowed to upload it?
Yeah.
Because it's on the .gov site.
Yes, and it's once you put a bill on the board or on the desk, it is public.
So you can upload it. You can upload it and have it read it and go according to your Wow, that's awesome.
That's a lot of us are doing it, and it's making it harder for them to hide stuff now.
There was a woman, a friend of mine, that literally wrote a book with it, and she trained it. On her, like who, all of the stuff that she studied and created the chats and all this stuff, and then said, write a book in regard to these chats. And from my perspective, it was phenomenal. It was like, what? So crazy.
As I was told, one of the AIs has anxiety now because it doesn't know whether or not it's real or not.
Whether it's alive or not.
Yes.
It's sentient beings are coming. The sentient AI is coming.
I can't wait.
ASI is coming.
I can't wait till the dogs of war come and, you know, take us out.
So anyway, that's kind of where we are. We have a few more weeks. I think we have 5 total weeks left. We get spring break the same week the Speaker of the House's kids get spring break at their school. So we'll get spring break the week before Easter, and then we'll be done by May 8th, I think. Wow. Unless we have to go back for budget stuff or the health czar or whatever. But theoretically, we won't have to stay. I might have to just go down for one day or whatever at a time. So instead of like I go down on Tuesdays, or this week I went down on Monday night and stayed till I haven't been home yet. So today's Thursday. So
well, thank you for showing.
We're happy to have you. I was so excited. I have missed you guys.
Yeah, I've missed you too. You haven't been here, and you know, if you had been here, you probably would have been like, okay, guys, enough.
I was hollering at Tiziana to stop the cussing.
Yeah,
she's not the one that's gonna do it.
Yeah. I was like, Tiziana, don't cuss while you read the Bible.
Did I not say that, Andy? Yeah. I said, Ben, by the way, TZ, you cussed while you were reading the Bible. Are you kidding me?
Well, to be fair, the cusses were, they were all part of like editorialization, right? So she inserted them into the text.
She did. And she made the point of telling us that she's actually the daughter of a sailor. So if she cusses like a sailor, she gets it honest.
That's true. That's true.
Very good. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for sharing that stuff. That's our latest update on Sarita the Edge. Oh, sorry, the Honorable Sarita the Edge Edgerton.
I appreciate you letting me update. I have come home several times. I told my husband, if ever a job was made for me, this job was made for me.
That's awesome.
I feel like I'm doing the Lord's work. I try to be nice to everybody. The very first part of session in January, I was praying about how the Lord wanted me to conduct myself. And, you know, I take the word honorable seriously.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, I'm going to give you three people to pray for every day. And you're going to write them notes in scripture. And you're just, going to put their card on their desk. So every morning I go to my office early enough and I have a conversation with the Lord, and he lays three of my fellow representatives on my heart, and I write them notes and I put them on their desks. And I gave one out this week to a lady, and she came over. She goes, did you know my son was having surgery today? I was like, no, but the Lord did.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to do that.
How about the guy that didn't want to talk to you on the elevator? Has he laid you yet? Not laid you, but laid him on.
Yeah,
listen, dang, laid
cut that out, just
him
rewind.
On your heart.
Yes, he has.
Oh, good.
Yes, he has.
Praying for your enemy, even though he's really not an enemy.
He's not really. I mean, you know, what somebody said to me, people aren't the enemy. People are our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And,
That's interesting.
They're not our enemy. Our purpose, if we're Christians, is to share the gospel with those people.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to do it one card at a time. And I don't do it for accolades. I just do it to be obedient. But it's just, they're going to have to work hard to hate me.
Yeah. Have you found since you've got in there that it's less of an us against them as much as it is trying to get things done?
Yes.
Is that good? I mean, I think that's
kind
good.
Of.
It's good to hear.
But for anyone who isn't, I'm in the Freedom Caucus because I won't sign the pledge to be in the House Republican Caucus. I won't sign away my First Amendment rights to campaign against bad Republicans. But they hate us bad.
Yeah.
And anything we put up, amendments, any bills we put up, they don't get heard. They don't get pushed through. If we get up and make speeches on amendments, they get real nasty with us. They haven't done that with me just yet, just the condescending tone. I did present an amendment yesterday on an election bill to close our primaries. That has been my passion. And I got up and made a speech. They ruled my amendment non-germane. That's the new word. I thought he was a Jackson, but apparently he's a legal term.
Non-germane?
Non-germane.
Yeah. How about Tito? No?
No.
Tito.
That's what we drink afterwards.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Toby?
Tito's. No. Anyway, so yeah, it's everything that I kind of, and I'm glad I had some mentors who prepared me for what a slog it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But for most days, like today, I don't even know what we did.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything. We recognized some school ball teams. We recognized, oh, Michael came down yesterday. It was South Carolina Land Surveyor Day.
Ah.
And so he came down and stayed with me Tuesday.
Take your husband to work
take
day.
Take my husband to work day. Tuesday at the, he stayed the night with me Tuesday. We had a breakfast at the Palmetto Club for the surveyors, and we went, and then I got to recognize them.
Did
from
you
the
tell
floor.
Everybody at work that you slept with a landscaper last night?
Land surveyor?
Sorry, land surveyor.
I did not sleep with a landscaper.
And your husband was like, "Who's the landscaper man?"
So, the land slayer.
But they got a tour of the Capitol, and they had a good time. And so yeah.
You're really butchering it up today, Rick. I love it.
So yes, it's everything I thought it would be. But my poor husband doesn't like when I get attacked. It's hard on him.
I can't blame him.
I think he said
him.
It before when we were both in here.
Yes.
Be tough.
But that's he did get to see part. A little bit of the process yesterday. Next week, we have a DEI bill coming up, and there will be protesters. Yeah.
Well, I mean, welcome to politics.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and so an update on me. I just spoke at a eschatology conference in Sydney, Australia.
Hello, mate.
That was a long flight.
Did you have your kangaroo?
And boy, was my internet tired.
You didn't get to go?
Well, the whole plan was that Holly and I were supposed to go over to see her friend in Adelaide, and all of that got messed up and canceled. So even though I was a part of that eschatology conference, it wasn't going to work. So they decided to bring me in, you know, via internet, and they put me up on the big screen. And so I did it.
Everybody got to see your big old head?
I got a monster head, and it's just, it takes up the whole church. But it was really cool to get to do it. Hopefully next year I'll be able to, if they invite me back, I'll go, you know, in person. But Don Preston was there and it was really cool. And there were some people that like shared their testimony, several women there. And I love the Australian accent. I love it, you know, and I heard a lot of them like Southern American accents, which is, that's interesting. So, but that was really fun. I enjoyed that. And of course I'm leaving for Dallas, Texas. I'm going down there here in a couple weeks for the Servolution. I'm going to be a part of that blitz down there and learning about what they're doing. And then they're going to be talking about, I'm going to be interviewing a few people, you know, in that organization, and I'm speaking down there while I'm in Dallas. So Andy, how was Chicago?
Chicago was great. I love Chicago.
Yes. The pictures you sent, especially of the bean.
Yeah. You got to get those bean pictures.
Did you see that picture?
No, he didn't send me no pictures.
Oh, they were just on Facebook. Okay. Yeah, okay. I didn't like send them. I could put them in the chat.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of that. Did you see when I zoomed in on the bean on that one that's kind of a sepia picture?
Yes.
I love that
picture. That was an excellent picture.
I love that picture.
You should get it printed.
Yeah, I kind of want to. I have like one or two pictures that I'm like, not just like, these are nice, but I'm like really proud of. And that's kind of one of them, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we drive up, right, Friday. So it's just like all day driving Friday. The drummer says he likes to drive. God bless him.
Yeah, and especially in Chicago.
Everyone. In Chicago, whatever. Like, I'd rather be on a train if I'm in a real city.
Right.
But from here, the 10, 11 hours from here to Chicago, oh, I hate long distance driving with a passion. Mm-hmm. But he likes to drive. He says, you know, he says he wants to do it. So that means I sit in the back with an iPad that I've downloaded a ton of shows onto. And that's how I spend my time. And just eat kind of the whole time. I just like eat all day long.
Yeah.
We got there and, you know, we just have one day. So Saturday we screwed around a little bit together, but they wanted to go back to the hotel, which they often do. And I was just like, I was like, drop me off. And I just got dropped off in a part of Chicago and hopped a train to the middle and went up to this really cool rooftop bar that's like right on Millennium Park. That was so cool,
right on Millennium Park. I saw that.
Yeah, it's a nice Carol's nice rooftop bar. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Just got a drink. It was the middle of the day, but like, you know, I needed to buy something to be there.
So sure.
I stood up there, took pictures, and met some people because it was like everybody.
There's
was
no shame in day drinking. Just ask people on the house floor.
That's true.
Yeah, there,
it might be mandatory after a couple of years.
I'm pretty sure they got whiskey bottles in their drawers.
They call her Mrs. Swigs.
So, you know, it's like a super touristy location, rooftop bar overlooking Millennium Park. So it's like everybody's out there taking pictures and taking each other's pictures. And so you kind of end up talking to people a little bit because you're, you know, holding the camera for people and they're doing it for you. So that was really cool. And then I just walked around and I got some ramen. I went to the park. There was a protest. Pro-Palestinian down along the side of Millennium Park, whatever that street is. So that was interesting just to see. It wasn't like a huge one, but could have been 1,000 people, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it was neat to just be there for it. I just like to see crap happen.
How about that drum circle, bro?
Oh, right in front of the Art Institute of Chicago?
Yes, with the two lions.
Yeah, there's like, what was it, 5, 6 people drum, they were doing the drum on buckets thing, but they were like good to the point of like, I'm almost certain they're in like college drum line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of good they were. They were good. So and that you filmed was really it, cool.
And I got to see, I was like, what? That was awesome.
Is it on your Facebook as well?
It is.
It's definitely a Facebook and Instagram both.
All right.
It's really cool. It's like a couple minutes long and I stood up there and watched them. Of course, I threw them a couple bucks because if you're going to film,
throw them a bone.
A couple bucks. That was really cool. And just a lot of wandering, which I don't know if everybody, I will be alone and just wander around and be fine. I can entertain myself. So that's kind of what I did. Eventually it degraded into shopping though.
Yeah.
Which I like that too, but boy, it's easy to spend money in a city.
Did you go up to the lake?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Although like Millennium Park is like, I could have walked across the park and I could have walked to the lake from there.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah. McCormick Place, that's where I used to, at McCormick Place, there's a large venue and that's where we always do our trade shows. That's where we always go.
That's cool. Is that like right on the water?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It's close to the really big Ferris wheel.
Okay. Yeah.
I know. I don't know where that Ferris wheel is.
It's up. It's McCormick Place, right up on the lake.
Okay.
Is that Navy Pier?
Navy Pier. Navy That's Pier. Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't think I've seen the Ferris wheel yet.
Speaking of navies.
Yes.
In April, because I'm part of the military caucus, I get to fly on a Chinook.
Whoa.
I'm pretty excited. Yay.
That's awesome. My daughter jumped out of one of those.
Or an Apache. I'm not sure which one. They'll put us in.
Even better.
That's cool.
Can you pull the trigger?
No.
Oh. Yes, the pilot, like, dude, can I just please shoot a missile?
But South Carolina, their air guard is all helicopters.
Yeah.
So, and they're, but we get to go from one military base to another in one of those. I'm so excited.
That's cool. Never take a helicopter to a jet fight. You ever heard that?
No, but I take an Apache.
Oh, yeah.
I think about it.
Those are cool. Chinooks are cool. My daughter jumped out of one.
They're the fastest military helicopter we have.
Are they?
Yes.
Even faster than the Black Hawk?
And they're housed at Lockheed Martin in Greenville.
Yeah. Oh, how about that?
Surprisingly.
Is that where South Carolina keeps all their helicopters?
The Black Hawk or the Apache would be faster, but it's not.
Wow.
It's actually Chinook.
I didn't know that.
It has two blades.
Yep. We had a bunch of Chinooks up here dropping stuff off, you know, during the storm.
Yeah, they were in and out.
Storm. Yeah. Those pilots are awesome.
Well, what about you, Mr. Carter?
Now they're using them to dump water on the mountain.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of wish that...
My son said he got to see him swoop down and pick up water near Table Rock. And he said it was the coolest thing to watch. Yeah. And then he said it would go over the mountain and dump
it. I'm going to piss off a lot of people, but I really wish we hadn't pissed off Canada, because they have those incredible planes. That could have sucked up Lake Kiwi and these fires would have been out by now. Seriously.
Really?
The Canadians, they're the ones that put out the Los Angeles fires.
They have so much forest.
They
to
do.
To be fair, like the amount of woodland in Canada is insane.
Yes. And you know, remember, if it hadn't have been for Canada, we probably still wouldn't have power in the mountains right now.
Oh, really?
50,000 linemen came down from Canada.
Wow.
That's why we got power back as fast as we did.
Damn. Ours were from Louisiana, so I like my old...
Louisiana?
Louisiana linemen.
Everybody's Canadian. From a bunch of places, really. But
Where we were, they were all Canadians. We were all like giving them food, so it was fun. They were really nice people. Well, how about you, Rick?
Other than a tremendous amount of work going on, I had a few weeks ago, I had an impromptu ski trip.
Oh, that's cool.
Right.
I saw your pictures.
I love skiing. I never do it anymore.
I tell you, skiing is just like taxes. It's for the 1%ers.
Yeah.
1% fat people.
And yeah, you told me the story about how after you rode in the car, you couldn't,
you know,
couldn't get out of it.
It's like you do, it's everything you do. You got to do it all in this fast and rush. It's absolutely possible.
Right, right.
So we drive up there the day of, we leave. When I talk to I go with my cousin and some people that I work with. We ride up, we get a call, and it's like, we're going to leave early in the morning. Well, we find out to go to Snowshoe from where we're at, it's like seven hours from his house, and he's an hour from me. And of course, you know, my listeners know that driving for me is no problem. I do that all the time.
Right.
I get a call at like 8 o'clock, and he's like, look, dude, we're going to go tonight. And like, what? And I had already been to Atlanta and back home.
Oh, wow.
And he had come from the other side of Atlanta. So I'm like, really? He's like, you know, by the time they've already changed, it was getting to like, that literally was like almost the last weekend of the season.
Yeah.
And I had spent a mega amount of money to get all geared up.
Uh-huh.
You know, because when you don't ski for like 10, 15 years.
Yeah, you don't have anything.
Yeah, your body's not the same.
Yeah, yeah.
I might still have the stuff, but I can't fit in it anymore.
Wait a minute. Did you get some Big Daddy skis?
Not to ski.
You rented those, huh?
Well, I had to rent. I rented those because you know, it's no point if you're going to do it another 15 years. It's not worth putting.
Right,
money.
Right, right.
But to put the jacket, the ski bib, you know, all the you know clothes
everything
that you need
together.
You know, and,
where was it? Sorry, I missed it.
Snowshoe.
Snowshoe
up in West Virginia.
Oh, okay, cool.
So very nice place. It's almost like a
good year for skiing, probably.
They had an excellent year this year, despite the fact that I was at the last weekend of it. So you know, it was. The only thing, the snow up there was literally just the ice on the hill.
Yeah.
And they were done blowing, so it was all done. And, I mean, it was still great. I'd never been there before. It's kind of got a Norwegian look to the cabins and the—
A lot of ski slopes have that, like, we pretend pulled this out of the Swiss Alps kind of vibe. Yeah.
Well, and actually, a lot of people from that area will come here and work the ski slopes.
Well, as I was told, I didn't realize that a lot of the foreign visas— had because the ski weather had gotten so good that year that they had extended it to where like the weekend that we go up there, most everything is almost there. Everybody's gone.
Yeah.
All of the visas had expired, getting to expire. So all the normal workers that would be there had to went home. So we were so
like skeleton crew,
and extremely skeleton crew.
And don't die on the hill, Rick.
and angry at you for ordering.
Is this the hill you're willing to die on?
A couple of them, I said no. I'm gonna walk down.
Yeah,
so I literally walked.
You didn't
down
want to bono it, huh?
No.
I love skiing. Or I used to.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore.
You know, right. when you're one percenter, you can scalp your way down the hill pretty easy. I've seen many of them do it.
Yeah.
But when you're...
I grew up poor in a town that had its own little ski slope. So I had a... It was like... I mean, it was 80s or early 90s money, but it was like $40 a day, but $180 for the year.
Oh, yeah.
So we had passes all the time. Just loved it so much.
And snowboarding now is like the major thing.
I think he means 1% as in fitness.
Fitness.
Oh.
1%
not
fatter.
Monetary.
You know what? If you say that, what skiing is for like the rich, that's also kind of true.
That's kind of true too, okay. Yeah.
That's like Vail.
Kind of true.
Like Vail.
Oh, Colorado? Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that's expensive.
Yeah, but she is right. I'm referring to the 1%
okay,
fatters.
Fitness. Okay.
Fatters.
Yes. 1% fatters.
Yeah,
because when you're basically a bowling ball compared to a feather, you're going to be a scud missile going down the hill.
So you go left, you go right, you go straight, and burst into flames.
For me too.
Momentum will get you.
That's what I was just saying. Gotcha. Yeah, it's funny.
So anyway, so we do that day. I mean, absolutely exhausted. I mean, I'm using muscles I swear I've never used before.
Yeah.
I have no problem, thank God. I mean, everybody that was there, they loved me for my CPAP because it was like a muffler. Nobody heard a thing. So I slept well, got up the next morning. We all went in about 10 and skied for probably, I don't know, a few hours, a little after lunch. By that time, we were kind of done. And then the bright idea is like, hey, look, it's a long way to get home. Even though we could have stayed the night, let's go ahead and drive home.
Yeah.
So we don't get home till like 11. And then I drive from his house to home. So it's after midnight.
But you had told me that you guys had stopped at a store.
We did. We were
on the way back home.
We had a beautiful route we took because we're in West Virginia and there's tolls. We decided to use the GPS to take us away from it. So we went up through the backcountry through Virginia and West Virginia. Beautiful country. Two-lane roads. Again, the bright idea is we're going to go home after we've just skied for like 5 hours.
Right.
You know, like the most brutal physical labor I've been through. and not related to women birthing labor, but yes, labor for a guy and a fat guy at that. So we stop to get something to eat, and we get
the 35 to 75 percenters.
Yes,
that's you and me, baby.
so we get to somewhere to eat, and we're finally, it's like, let's get something to eat. So we get out of his truck, and he's got a 2500, so it's a little elevated. And we rode for several hours, and we get out, and literally both of us about collapse on the ground.
Oh my God. I can only imagine after
literally,
skiing.
Almost collapse on the ground like and laughing at each other because we're two old guys that can't stand up.
Right. That's fun.
And then
it sounds fun.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
I have never been skiing in my life and I would like to go. Can we all go as the Burrows?
Sure. I would love to.
Could we do a ski trip next year?
Theoretically, sure. I would love to ski. Maybe when I get there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm set now.
Let's go as the Burrows. Let's all go and have some fun. I'd love to do it.
I am in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're all caught up. So how are you doing, Ralph? Oh, he's not here. So anyway.
Represent.
Billy.
Well,
hey, Ralph, did Ralph just appear? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, anyway. So thanks for letting us know, you know, Sarita, how things are going on. And we'll check again in 2 or 3 months. And, you know, I just want to keep following and updating along the way what it's like to be, you know, a politician and for the first time in your life and just kind of like follow that journey. You know, and that's decide cool. if I ever want to run, which I can already tell you right now, the answer is never, ever.
I don't know if you could control your mouth.
I can't control my mouth in here.
I know.
You know?
And if somebody got smarty pantsy with you.
I mean, I want to joke about it. you know, I would just want to say something dirty and get in trouble.
On social media, I usually, if somebody's criticizing me, there's a couple people, you know, are paid trolls. They're just paid.
Yeah.
So when I know, and I know who they are. So every time they, and one time they commented on what I was wearing. I'm like, really?
Right.
Really? You're a guy commenting on what a woman who's old enough to be your mother is wearing. That's not a good look. But underneath it, I just put a gif of a troll in a Jeep just riding around. And I just put different troll gifs every time they comment on something. It usually shuts them up.
That just feels low effort to me. Like, I would expect more out of my trolls.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be mad. I'd be like, can I get better trolls?
Yeah.
You are just, can you do a little homework?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good. I'm glad you're here. Appreciate you being here and filling us in. Andy, thanks so much for staying here in your studio again.
Thanks for bringing the smoke.
Yeah. Bringing the smoke.
And I mean that literally.
Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate it. And we will talk to you guys again next time on the Burrows of Berea. Peace out.
Bye.
They called themselves The Class, later Heaven's Gate, a group of ordinary people who walked away from everything and believed they were chosen to leave this world behind, not metaphorically, literally.
If I would title this tape, it would be Last Chance to Evacuate Planet Earth Before It Is Recycled.
Led by a man who claimed to speak for beings beyond the stars, they trained, obeyed, disappeared. And in 1997, they carried out one of the most haunting acts of mass death in American history.
San Diego sheriff's deputies stumble into a house of death, a multi-million dollar mansion filled with dozens of bodies, the site of a grim mass suicide.
But this isn't just a story about a cult. This is a story about the need to belong. About the quiet loneliness that hides in plain sight, and the human desire to believe in something, even if it means leaving Earth behind to find it. I'm Rick Welch. Join me as we uncover the chilling truth behind Heaven's Gate, from hospital beds to the internet, from whispered prophecy to suicide pacts. This is the full story, told in real time from the inside out. This is The Sky Watchers, a 7-part investigative podcast series. Available only on Patreon. Subscribe now at www.patreon.com/theburrowsofberea and hear the story that was never meant to be told. The stars are waiting. Are you?
You hear that, right?
The word. That's the word.
So don't talk about it because I want to talk about it. So don't. I want you guys to talk about it on the episode. We're gonna. This might even. However long it takes is however long it takes because I want to update on what's going on in your life. I haven't seen you in a couple months.
Okay.
It feels like. Has it been that long?
No, I did. February? I missed the last time, but I didn't miss the time before that.
No, I thought that. The
I was
time
here.
I thought you missed a couple at least.
I think I might have missed two in a row. I was sick last week. Yeah. So it's probably been a month.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, you tell me when we're ready. We're going to do a little, I'm going to do an apology, and then we're going to do a recap, and then I'm going to talk to her about what's going on, and we'll come back to her.
Say hi to Sarita.
Yes, exactly. Are we ready?
Yeah, we're good.
Please put that at the back end.
Okay.